Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming this afternoon. I am not going to give a long introduction to a very distinguished speaker, not because he doesn't have all the credentials that deserve a long introduction, but I think all of you have come here really because of your interest in Iraq, for which he is a spokesman, for which he is someone who has experience at the political level in the National Assembly, someone who helped draft the Constitution, and someone who at, I think, a very critical time in U.S. and Iraqi affairs is very well qualified to provide an Iraqi voice as to where we are going, what the new strategic agreement means, the status of forces agreement means, and what the U.S. role should be in Iraq as seen from an Iraqi perspective. So with that brief introduction.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Korsman. I'm going to give an introduction and a short brief about the Iraqi vision and Iraqi what they think about the future and the post-SOFA, post-agreement with the United States. We think that the new administration of Mr. Obama, we have a common vision with the new team regarding the main and the important issue of the presence of the troops of the United States in Iraq. We are quite optimistic that the President Obama going to take in consideration the level of a threat which is there in Iraq and all the problems which is related to the security in Iraq, and at the same time the achievement and the progress in the security and what has been achieved till now, and the necessity of strengthening and supporting that achievement and that improvement, as the security in Iraq is vital and important not only to Iraq. The threat is not limited to Iraq. It's projected to the region, as everybody aware. The priority which we are looking for is that we have a 5 hard years of fighting the terrorist group and fixing the security issues in Iraq. We do need both Iraq and United States to look after this 5 years and to find out how to implement the strategic framework agreement which is had signed along with the agreement with the security agreement. This is very important, as the security agreement is limited for 3 years, while the framework, the strategic framework, is like a roadmap for the future relation between Iraq and the United States. We do need to have a partnership on an insecurity issues, which is as important as the security, as it will provide more security to the new system in Iraq and to the political process in Iraq. I think that it is a legitimate and normal. Iraqis is looking for the new elected president and his team is looking for the priorities, and rearranging the priorities here in the United States is not the security. It might not come as the priority and important, which is normal. I think Iraq is working hard in order to take the control and to transfer the control of the security to Iraqis. This was a major request from the Iraqi government while the negotiation with the SOFA. The fixing the date and for the withdrawal, the first 6 months, and also the 3 years, it was an Iraqi initiative in order to secure that Iraqis is going to take the responsibility, which is in a way or other also matching with the vision of the Senator Obama. This is we don't find any different vision between what Iraqis looking for and what the what Mr. Obama is going to have for the next 12 months, or if it is 16 months as been planned. We don't find it is a problem which we cannot cope with. I think that Iraqi government is working in order to fulfill the vision and the priority of Mr. Obama and his plan to withdraw or to reduce the combat forces in Iraq. One of the important issues also building up the forces. We do feel that there is a continuous effort going to be during this 3 years. That is what we had a commitment from Mr. Obama as well, that there will be an effort to build up the Iraqi army and military in order to take the full responsibility. This is normal and natural. At the end, Iraqis should take the full responsibility. Iraqis should hold all the efforts, which is for the security as well as the reconstruction. I think now it's a time to give a thought for the investment and for the companies and the all sectors in Iraq which needs the American effort, which need the American investor. I'm talking especially on the oil and gas sector, in the power generation, in all sectors which we didn't notice till now that the Americans' effort and American companies are coming to Iraq to participate in that effort. I think now the strategic framework agreement will give that chance and will give that opportunity for companies, giant companies, to participate in that effort. I think that the priority of Iraq compared with what we had in the past years is also been changed as the security improved. The corruption, fighting the corruption, the good governance, all the principles which Iraqi government had promised its people. I think it's a time, 2009, it's a time to work out in order to fulfill that commitment. We think that, again, that the teams which is in the civil teams which going to participate more in the coming years, they will also have a big support for the Iraqi government rather than being only focusing on the security and military issues. I will not go more any in details. I hope that to give a chance for the questions, it could be more useful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to make this meeting as interactive as possible. What I'm going to do is ask you if you could make your questions something that ends with a question mark. If a question has two parts, it is a speech, even if it has a question mark. And if I may, if you could give your name and affiliation, even if I do know you, because everyone else will want to know who you are as well. So who would like to begin? You were very authoritative. There were absolutely no questions left about Iraq. The lady over there. Yes. Please stand. There'll be a mic in just a moment.
Elizabeth Rosenberg with Argus Media. My question is about the contracts, the status of the contracts that the KRG has signed with oil companies, foreign companies. There's about 20. Is there a compromise being negotiated with the KRG that would allow those contracts to be legalized as far as Baghdad is concerned? And what steps would need to be taken in order to legalize those contracts?
Thank you. I think the both level of government, the federal as well as the regional government is working to find out a solution for having the all such contracts being legalized in a way. I think the oil law, which is still the draft in the Council of Representatives, is in a way or other, when it is being finalized, it will find a framework to either make a certain amendment to the present agreement, which is signed with the KRG, or to find a way and solution for all this agreement. Definitely, we are optimistic, both level of government optimistic, that such agreement going to find a way to keep them workable in a way for the benefit of Iraq. Thank you.
Gentleman in the second row.
Honorable Borgraf, CSIS doctor, if you take all the military operations in Iraq today as 100%, what percentage are joint operations and what percentage are all Iraqi operations?
Yes, thank you. We had noticed from the beginning of this year, Iraqis is taking more lead. We could see that in Basra, although that Basra it was a turning point for the Iraqi forces. Iraqi only just need the coverage of the United States or the multinational forces, and the operation on an Amara and different governorates in Iraq, I think Iraqis take the lead. And since the law enforcement plan of Baghdad, which entitled the Iraqi security forces to make more control, I think it's improving. The situation is improving. But I could confirm that still not to the level to do the job 100% in the coming year. Still, we do need the support of the American troops. We are expecting, we put that 3 years, we thought that this could work out, and still we are optimistic that this could be reduced to less, as much as Iraqis have more effort to have the proper build-up of the forces.
If I may follow up on that question, last year the Iraqi Ministry of Defense was speaking here, and in addition to the minister, we had the head of the U.S. advisory group come. And they were saying that Iraq could move to the ability where it could deal with internal security by the deadline yes. set in the agreement, but it would take several more years of support and advisory effort to give Iraq the kind of forces it needed to fully defend itself against its neighbors. So when we talk about the U.S. presence in Iraq, what are the sort of plans in terms of keeping U.S. advisory support and help in developing Iraq's forces?
Definitely, when we talk on a 3 years, it's not enough to build up the forces which protect Iraq and the sovereignty of Iraq. We are talking on internal problems. Iraq is working on two sides. Number one is building up the forces, and this will take time. This, I think, our technical team, they said not less than 10 years to build up the military from zero. The second one, we are trying to have that relation with the neighbors in a way which Iraq is no more destabilizing the region. Iraq tried to have a friendly relation with sources of threat, let me say it, from wherever it comes, whether from the west or from the east side of Iraq. Iraq is trying to work out a formula which eliminates that threat. It's not enough, definitely, but in parallel, Iraq is building up the forces. I think that the question will be raising at 2011 on whoever there in the government of Iraq, that what sort of cooperation and support do they need beyond 2011? This is very important, and I think this is a question going to be answered there 2011, because this government tried to limit this agreement only to end by 2011, and it will not be renewed. Any other sort of cooperation needs to have a new agreement, and that is it will be in 2011.
Yes, gentleman over there.
Thank you. I'm Hanif Indakli with the Potomac Capital. There's much said in the past few months about the $79 billion of reserves, cash that the government of Iraq had. Could you explain a little bit about that, and could you also elaborate on the impact on the government budget and on the Iraqi economy over the next year now that oil prices are about a third of what they were
yes.
a few months ago?
Yes, shukran. I think that with the change on the oil price, Iraq is facing, as the other oil-producing countries, facing a hard time and hard moment. I think that reserve, now it comes, how Iraq is, that reserve, how we could cover that deficit which arises during the 2009 and might be 2010. It is normal and natural that a country like Iraq, which needs to rebuild and reconstruct its reserve that much, it's not much compared with the other countries, definitely. But because of the lack of the it was because of the deficiency of budget execution during the past years that it add up and it makes that reserve. But we think that this year, 2009, is much better than 2008. It's improving. 2008 is much better than 2007. Is improving. Take in consideration that Iraq is with that level of corruption, that level of deficiency, that level of all troubles which had, is improving, is much better, improving. And the level now we have to sign now is a big contract with GE. Also, we had signed an MOU with Shell Company for in the gas in the south. We had also six giant oil fields is about to for the bidding stage now. So Iraq is make using of its reserve progressively, and I think that this year is a remarkable year. And definitely there is 2009, there are a project which is going different to plan, not a 1 year plan, it's going to be a 3 years plan in 2009.
Just wait a second, Ambassador.
Thank you. Joseph Gildenhorn, Woodrow Wilson Center. Do you foresee Iraq having a future relationship with Israel, in recognizing Israel and having a future association?
Yes. Iraq will be part of the Arab League. I think that this has been discussed in Iraq. Iraq will not be will not take any an individual steps as long as the Arabs decide to have that relation. Iraq will not be an exception.
Please.
Tamio Master of Tokyo Electric Power Company. I ask about the agreement. How do you see the opposition against the agreement from Southern faction, and how is the perspective of the referendum of this agreement by July 2009?
The first question about Sadrist? Sadr, yes. The referendum the referendum for the sofa, you mean? I think that it is not it's not a big threat for the agreement, for the security agreement. Majority of Iraqis, they feel that the sofa is good and the agreement, security agreement, is good for them, and it is the best available for Iraqis. The second, that during the coming 6 months, the people of Iraq will see the, in the implementation of the agreement, they will see that the detainees will be released, the important buildings and the palace, which is a symbolic for Iraqis, they will not see the forces in the street and in the towns. This will give impression for the people as this agreement is workable and is for their benefit. So we are not worried about the referendum at all. We do need to work in order to have that referendum. It needs a law to be legalized in the Council of Representatives, and this might take time. So I think that this is the job of the COR. Regarding the Sadr, I think that Mr. Muqtada Sadr had proved to work in a good way, and his group, even though they had opposed this agreement, which is their right. And we had also from the Iraqi government, we had thanked those who support and that those who also object this agreement. They did their job, both. They did their job. This is the democracy which we want to build in Iraq, but we do warn everybody that at the end, this is the choice and the right of the Iraqis when they had signed for this agreement. We will not allow anyone to work against the Iraqi will.
In the back.
Carolyn Stoga, McLarty Associates. My question is regarding the petition drive for the national referendum that would potentially give autonomy to Basra. I was wondering if you could speak to sort of the official stance of the federal government on the referendum and whether or not you think it will be held or potentially pass.
The second question, could you repeat it?
Just regarding the referendum.
The referendum in Basra.
Yes.
Okay. I think that the people which they are working for the having Basra as a federal province, it's a, they are working as per the constitution, and it is being defined in the constitution. Iraq is a federal state, and at the end, the people of Basra, they will decide whether they want to be a province, they want to be a region, or not. We do support when the we do support the Iraqi government do support any steps constitutionally in its right way, but we do need at the same time we do need to have the design the federal system in Iraq, which we do need. The Kurdistan as a federal region is a special status, as it was like from 91 was ruling themselves because of the situation in Iraq, and they gained that good experience. We do urge the other governorate to take time in order not to have any fast steps which might be understood by the other that this is a disintegration of the country. It is a fully constitutional step, but we do need to work it carefully. Thank you.
If you could perhaps tell us what is happening in terms of the election to be held in January.
Yes.
And if you had to make a guess, what do you think the impact of this election is going to be on Iraqi political accommodation?
I think that the election is important. Each election is important. This election, the provincial election, its importance is that we didn't have a successful council yet. The last election, which is being held in 2005, for the provincial election, it brought people which were, it's been proved, they were, there's deficiency and they couldn't deliver. That is what the people now, the voters are going to vote for the person. They will select a person, not a parties. This is a good progress in the Iraq, in the election process. And we feel that this will restructure the governorate in a way to have more efficient people which they could take a role in the planning and the execution of the project. Keep in mind that there is a governorate law which decentralized the power, which give more power to the governorate. It will be applicable after the election, and it will be take place after the election. So this is the importance of this election. I think that it also paved the way for the coming election, national election, which also will be of great importance, as it will be at a time which is less threat, which makes everybody participating. At the same time, that keep in mind that some of the governorate which didn't have the chance to elect a proper governorate council, like Al Anbar, which they didn't have the chance to vote in 2005. They just have the voting centers in Baghdad, and only 500 persons they had select the present governorate council. This is, again, a weakness. The Sons of Iraq, which is called Sons of Iraq, going to participate heavily in this election, which also make them as integrated in the political process. No more, they will no more think that they are isolated, they are fighters. So this is its importance.
In the back row there.
I'm Eitan Agusi from RJI Capital Corporation. I just would like to know what financial incentives does the Iraqi government offers foreign corporations to come to invest in Iraq? Thank you.
Iraq needs for all the efforts. Iraq is fully distracted, and we can't do it by ourselves. Definitely, we do need the efforts of. We have a big knowledge gap, and without the international effort, we can't modernize our country. We are trying to have a legal framework in order to attract the companies. I think the cabinet is taking that measure, is giving a special agreement, a special legal framework for the companies in sort of arbitration, in the securing the payment, in the anything which feel this is applicable on a strategic project which is on a power now, which is the government of Iraq is working on. At the same time, the oil and gas sectors, in the absence of the hydrocarbon law, Iraqi government had given some exceptions to the oil companies, especially with the Chinese. We had did this one, and they are going to do it with Shell company. So there is a special treatment for project, strategic project, but at the end, working at the same time on a basis of providing that platform for the companies which they intend to come, like the investment law. Investment law provide also an exemption in the taxes, also giving the custom exemption, things which is, I do agree that we do need to provide. I think Iraqi government is working to improve the atmosphere, the investment atmosphere there in Iraq.
My name is Kunio Kikuchi, Masaoka and Associates. I imagine the infrastructure requirements for Iraq is enormous, and I'm wondering what the role of UNDP or the World Bank might be to prepare a public sector investment program. Secondly, when would components of that program be ready for international bidding by the member countries of the World Bank? That is, when would it be safe enough for people to go out there on the ground? Thank you.
Thank you. I think UNDP, jointly with the World Bank, is working to support the many sectors in Iraq. Just last week, we had in the Dead Sea a conference about the IPP, the power generation. Iraqi government is intending to open this sector for investment, private investment. And UNDP is heavily involved in having the legal arrangement. We confirm that the government of Iraq cannot fix this problem of the shortage of the power unless the private sector is coming. And I think this is one of the policies which Mr. Maliki government is taking, that activating and giving the chances for the private sector to have a role. We have many projects which has not yet come up, but it's working on. In Baghdad, we have a huge housing project which is going to be to the private sector, as well as many other activities in Kurdistan also. Kurdistan is not, you could find out that huge activities there due to the better security. So I think that there is a bright future for the private sector in Iraq. We do understand that. Without a private sector, the country is not going to be developed.
If I could turn to the subject of Iran, as I think you know, there's a great deal of U.S. concern about the level of Iranian influence in Iraq. And having just come back from the Gulf, I found exactly that same concern in some of your Arab neighbors. And I wonder if you could sort of describe that from an Iraqi perspective.
frankly speaking, that the most countries suffer from any influence of Iranian influence is Iraq. And the big loser, if there is anything happen or any conflict with Iran, Iraq will be the first loser. That is why we are urging the new administration to have a proper dialogue with Iran. Without having the proper dialogue with the Iranians, nothing going to solve. We had an experience of 30 years. All the efforts, which is all the measure being taken, didn't limit Iran in its border. Iran is expanding in different directions, and at the end, we do need, United States and the Arab do need to review the policy against Iran. Iran is a player, whether we accept it or not, in the region. But when we have, I had a proposal yesterday, a regional partnership in the region, which eliminate that ideological crisis which we had for many decades, and to reform it in a sort of like a European Union model in the region, which could entitle Iran and Saudi Arabia to play a constructive and positive role in Iraq, rather than taking Iraq as a battlefield. This is what we feel. Iran should know very well that cannot continue with the policy and the threatening of the region unless that to be a good neighbor for Iraq. Iraq is looking to have a very good relation. We had a one-year good experience now with Iran. Iranian shows a positive role in Iraq, a diminishing negative influence in Iraq, and we want to encourage them. I think that with the intention of Mr. Obama having a dialogue with Iran, which we support, that we think that it will help Iraq. I don't deny that there is a legitimate worry from what you had so in Saudi Arabia, and this is normal. In the absence of proper understanding of dialogue between like Saudi Arabia and Iran, like the Arab countries and Iran, we have 30 years of a tension between Iranians and the Arab countries. We don't want to continue 30 more years.
Please. If you could wait just a second for the microphone.
Sorry, thank you. I noticed that, or at least I read, that your water is running, your sewers are working, your schools are back in operation, you have a reasonably secure country. Does any of that success credit go to the U.S.? In the Iraqis' mind?
I couldn't understand it. Could you repeat it?
So much of your infrastructure,
yes,
is working in Iraq. Can any of that credit go to the United States in the Iraqis' mind?
United States had helped us a lot, we don't deny. And Iraqi people, whatever they express is not enough to thank all the families, all the sacrifice which they did for Iraq. They had liberated us from such a brutal regime, and they had helped us in building up the country, which is in the security basis. But again, I'm saying that we do need to look for the future, for building up the institution, for building the good governance for Iraq, because the focus was the last 5 years is on security issues. And there was no focus on that much the services which Iraqi people require. This is the responsibility of Iraqi people, definitely. Responsibility of the governments of Iraq is not responsibility of United States. And that is what's going to be in the future. Iraqis should finance all that sectors and build up that sectors. But we do need the experience, we do need the support, we do need the capacity of and to build our capacity with the help of our friends. Without the United States support, I think, and the others, as well as the European Union support, I think Iraqis cannot return to the normal life. Iraq is a rich country and needs and deserve to have to live in a normal way.
Jill Doherty from CNN. Kind of building on that question, It's a more philosophical question, but looking down the road at the strategic relationship between Iraq and the United States, because of this role that the U.S. has played, should Iraq treat the United States differently when it, from other countries in that long-term relationship?
I think that this is a debate in Iraq. What sort of relation do we need with the United States? Now, what President Bush and his administration did for Iraq, I think this will be remarkable in the history. Without that effort, Iraq could be in the darkness. Iraq could be in that brutal government. This is on the Iraqi side, Iraqi vision. I am quite sure majority of Iraqis would remember that sacrifice. Majority of Iraqis would like to have such a strategic partnership with a country like United States. What the Iraqi negotiator during the agreement of the security agreement had did, although that they look that a tough negotiator, but it give that message to Iraqis that we are a country one-to-one, which entitle Iraqis to deal with the United States on that basis, which make the future relation much more workable, even for those who feel that United States come to Iraq for their own agenda, which is Iraq, some of the components in Iraq, as well as some of the Arab countries, which they are raising all this all these messages. But at the end, I could assure you, majority of Iraqis are looking to have a strategic relationship with the United States. I think that strategic framework agreement, it is, we pay more attention to that in the future with the new administration to activate that agreement which will entitle Iraq and the United States to be a real partner in the region.
If I could follow up on that, you've outlined this afternoon three areas where Iraq needs support from the United States and the new administration. One is dialogue with Iran. Another is to tie our troop productions to conditions in Iraq. And a third was to maintain military advisors and support in building up your forces. Are there other priorities that Iraq has in terms of the support it will need from the United States during the course of the coming few years?
The present administration had played a major role in having a normal relation between Iraq and its neighbor. And we don't forget that all the efforts which Bush administration had played in writing of the debt for Iraq, in having the many leaders of the region coming and visiting Iraq. And let me put it in that way also, to reduce some non-positive influence of some of the neighbors which were not happy with the new system in Iraq. This has all been appreciated. We thought that still some of the areas, some of the regions still needs that to continue that effort to Iraq to be a normal country, to have a good relation with the neighbors. I think this is an important, which till now, after 5 years, we had noticed there is some weakness in some of the rings with the, some of the countries in the region. That needs to be bridged. What we had proposed yesterday, I think the new administration could, along with the other main player in the region, could play a major role in bringing this to existence and to have this formula workable, which at the end eliminate all that worried from some of the countries.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe we've exhausted all of the issues. Sorry, again.
I'd be happy to ask another oil question if that's all right. Again, it's Elizabeth Rosenberg with Argus Media. You mentioned the deal with Shell to capture and process flared gas in the south before earlier in your comments. There's been a lot of opposition to that deal, and I'm wondering if you can give us any insight about whether that will go through to its final stages, whether it needs to be approved by Parliament, and if possible, if it's possible that Shell could see a continuation or extension of this deal to activities in the north.
Well, we think that some of the people, they do need to object on anything in Iraq. Even the hydrocarbon law, which is not yet approved, the people just built up rumors about Iraq going to give all the its oil reserve to the American companies and so on. We don't pay that attention to that one, although that it's legitimate and the people have right to have that objection. But at the end, we do need the know-how. We do need the technology. We can't do it by ourselves. We have a 25 years or till now 23 years of knowledge gap. The country is fully distracted. We cannot have our own resources, neither the finance, to fix this problem and to develop our oil sector. I think that what we had did with Shell, it is a starting, and it is an MOU which need to activate it I think the Ministry of Oil is working on that in order to have a proper agreement with the Shell company.
I wonder if I could ask you to touch on two sensitive issues. One is, one of the great problems of U.S. withdrawals is potentially Baghdad. And how Iraq establishes the level of stability, security that's needed there. The second is that there are very large numbers of Iraqis which are still refugees outside Iraq and which are displaced inside Iraq. And how will you be dealing with these issues?
Yes. The situation in Baghdad is not worried the government. As the Mosul, for example. Mosul is much critical now, and I think what the General Petraeus is just as a sort of appreciation for General Petraeus for his effort to have this awakeness participation in the security, especially in Baghdad. Before that was an Anbar. It gives us a good opportunity to self-control in the places of the hot places, the critical places in Baghdad. The level of threat which you had noticed during the past 2 months, I think it is related to some of the political issue, which is the agreement. Agreement with the Americans, I think it initiates a sort of reaction from some of the special groups which they were against this agreement. But at the end, the security level in Baghdad, compared with last year, compared with the 2006, you could see there is a noticeable progress in the security. Regarding the displaced persons in Iraq, I don't deny that this is a problem in Iraq, and we do need a huge effort. It is beyond our capacity to deal with such thousands of families which they had displaced, which they had left their homes due to the security, due to the sectarian violence which we had. But Iraqi government also, within its capacity, is taking all the measures, and we had noticed that people are coming back to their homes. And we had initiative, the government of Iraq tried to help within its budget, within the capacity which they can, in order to help the people to come back, whether from the neighbor countries, whether from the people which is internally displaced. It is a continuous effort. But keep in mind, it is like an earthquake for us. Thousands of the people, they left Baghdad. Thousands of the people, they left Al-Anbar. And then we have 500,000 people living in Jordan and more than that living in Syria. And we are trying to attract them, trying to bring them. So we do need the effort of the others, but definitely primarily it's our responsibility, and we are trying to fix it.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes, please, in the back.
Rushdie Yunsi from Eurasia Group. Sir, Iraqi politics has been defined over the past few years in terms of sectarian tension, Arab versus Kurds, Sunni versus Shia, etc. But we have paid less attention to Shia on Shia violence. My question is, how confident are you that the next provincial elections will not cause severe intra-Shia violence in the south? And if I may also add a second question, what is your plan to resolve the dispute over Kirkuk?
We don't have a Shia-Shia violence. We have a special groups which they are financed, which they've been trained by the others, try to destabilize the Shia region in the south governorate, the south governorate. The same is applicable on a Sunni side. There are Al-Qaeda and some of the Ba'athists, which they try to destabilize the Sunni. We don't have that, a Shia-Shia violence or Sunni-Sunni violence. But they are criminals. It's a crime. Whether they are groups, whether they are persons, they are in the Shia, they are in the Sunnis as well. The Kirkuk issue. Kirkuk issue is not an easy thing. It's everybody, all the level of the government, even KRG, they do understand that this needs time. And that is, it's been postponed. All the parties agreed to postpone this issue to a time which provide that stability which we could make the census and then accordingly we have to perform the referendum for Kirkuk. As the time is not possible now with the situation, with the current situation in Kirkuk. That is why the Kirkuk has been exempted from the election. No time being fixed for the election in Kirkuk because we do need to maintain a good and consensus solution for Kirkuk. Any imposed formula on Kirkuk want to provide stability for Iraq as well as for Kurdistan. These facts has been understood by KRG, Kurdistan Regional Government, as well as the federal government.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I am struck over the course of this last hour of how different this conversation is and how much more positive it is than it would have been if we were having the same meeting a year ago. Let's hope a year from now the results are even more positive. Let me ask you to thank Mr. Vaughan and the Commission.